Yesterday, I had a chance to hang out with the family. Didn't want to because I try to tell the Lord on Saturday before I preach, I want to come aside and really seek him. But I was with the family yesterday, and the Lord got me up this morning. What I want to preach on, I hear this particular person sometimes, I can't find nothing. And this, that, and I'm like, oh, I got it. But Lord, what? Give me something to build on. So he gave me something to build on this morning. I thank the Lord for this morning. And I tell you, when you need him, he's always on time. When you need him, he's always on time. And that's that slogan I want to keep with me. Won't he do it? He will do it every time if we can wait on him. So I thank him this morning. You know, in this land, we've got a spirit that's running rapid in our land. And it's not, you know, we see the sinners acting up. You know, they sinners. But there's a spirit of error, the Lord told me, that's in the land. And that spirit of error is a spirit of deception. You know, it's a spirit of trickery. You know, it's got the saints, what I'm trying to say. You know, I want to preach to me and us about what God wants to do for us and for the nation, because without us, ain't no them. Let's be honest with it, because without him, there is no I. You know, if you spell the word him, if you take the I out of it, there is no me. You know, because in him do I live, move, and have my being. So without him, take away him, there is nobody. You know, there is nobody. So without us, God left us down here, we that are called by his name, to finish this work. You know, and I believe it. Sometimes there's doubt try to come, but you know, you have to shake the devil off and say, Lord, I just believe what you said. Because one is written that he left this thing for us to do. He said, I had to go. He said, I'm going to leave you. You know, he's talking about the disciples, he's talking about us. You know, I guess a lot of people think that when you read the Bible, well, he was talking about them. They gone. Them folk gone. We still reading the word. And I believe in Hebrew it says that, you know, the ends of the world is going to come up on us. We reading this thing, so it can't come up on them. They out of here. You know, so it's all about Jesus, but Jesus left us a work to do. And that spirit that's running around, I mean, it's like it has no reverence no more. That spirit of error, it don't have no respect for God. It have no regard no more for the word, you know. It don't have no regard no more. It is doing what it want to do. And some of the saints, we're just letting it happen. We're getting immune to it because we feel that we don't know what to do. I've prayed and I fasted. But you get discouraged, ain't nothing changed. But God is telling us that if we just continue to fast and pray, if we continue to stay in the word and wait upon him, there is going to be a change coming. Hallelujah. Don't let that spirit of error trick you. Don't let it get you caught up in what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, where you want to do it, and who you want to do it to. You know, we got to stick with the word of God. And I've thought about this when the prophet Malachi had said that God was going to send Elijah. And when Pastor said this a couple of Sundays ago, you know, turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the father. And if you look out there in the world, not just in the church, but the world period, the hearts of the father have really left. I run across so many guys. The last one I ran across was in Wellston, Missouri. And his son had got in trouble. And he was locked up. And he was talking so bad about his son. And then shortly thereafter, he told me that he had been there several times. And so I looked at him, trying not to condemn the brother. But I said, man, I said, if you've been there, I said, why are you turning your back on your son? You know all too much about what he's going through. You should anyway. You know, now you want to give up on your son. I said, don't give up on your son, man. I say, love your child. I say, if you say you did it, I mean, you can't point the finger at him and say, if you did, he probably got it from you. So we got to be careful about what we're doing in front of these, not just our children, because he said, turn the hearts of the father back to the children. He didn't say our sons. He didn't say our daughters. You got sons and daughters out there don't have a father and a mother. So who else they going to look to? You know, and it's back to us again. So I said, don't get so hard on him. And God did me like that years ago when I feel like giving up on my son. He said, I ain't give up on you. And I mean, that really checked me and put me in place. And every time you feel like you want to give up, you call on Jesus. He won't let you give up. He won't let you give up. He'll give you that burden for your son. He'll give you that burden for your daughter. He'll give you that burden for somebody else's son and somebody else's daughter. I don't know why I was crying this morning. I've been having a ball this last few weeks. But I guess there was a burden up on me for my sisters. You know, they hurt themselves. You know, and we are not to get down. We lift them up with the word. We lift them up with praise. You know, we come around them with joy and let them know that God is going to do this. I thank God also. I'm going to get to the scriptures. I thank God also, too, that he healed my throat. You know, a while back, he just brought this to me, Pastor, and I should have known because I can talk. A while back, I was sitting here, couldn't hardly talk, and remember Jackie came and she laid her hands on me, and people were saying that, you know, my son, Kobe, was saying, Dad, you know, you need to go get checked out because, you know, this is how Uncle Cam started off. And I don't want you to have cancer. And this, and I looked at him and say, baby, daddy, fine. I'm all right. I'm going to be all right. And I said, Lord, I refuse to believe what the enemy tell me that I may have. I refuse to believe what the enemy tell me, a known fact that I have. I ain't got to keep it. And I won't keep it. I won't keep it. And I just thank God for healing my throat, because people saying you may have a cancer, you may have this and all this kind of stuff coming. That was this man told, this doctor had two patients. One had cancer, one didn't have cancer. I may have told y'all this before. The one that didn't have cancer, he told him, he read the x-rays, he crossed the x-rays. He told the man that didn't have cancer, he had cancer. And the man that had cancer, he told me he didn't have cancer. You know, the man that didn't have cancer died because he believed what that doctor told him. And the one that had cancer was healed. Isn't that amazing what words would do? If we let that word to get that seed of doubt, if we let it get in us, it's going to manifest too. It's going to take root and do what it's supposed to do. It's going to take over your faith. It's going to be like a wild weed or something that round up and nothing else can get rid of that seed of doubt. And it'll overtake your faith. But you got to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto you. You got to hold on to faith. You got to. We got to hold on to what God had promised us. I don't care how hard it get, how rough it look. I don't care. We got to still be the children of the light and be saying, God said. You're going to be a weirdo out there saying by yourself, God said. But that's all right. Be that weirdo. I'm going to be reading in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16, verse 29. And then I'm going to jump over chapter 17, verse 1, and do a little reading here. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. While you're finding, I'm going to ask God to bless the word and bless me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for yet another opportunity, Lord, to stand before your people, God, to handle this precious word, God. Lord, I pray, Father God, and I thank you, Lord, for what you have given me. I pray, Father God, that first of all, God, that you will stir up the gift in me, Lord, and that the saints also will be stirred, Father God. Oh, God, what you're about to tell them, Lord. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. See, I'm talking about, I'm going to be talking about King Ahab. And I know you know the story about this king, what he was. Verse 29 says, and in the 38th year of Asa, the king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took a wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now, here's this king. The Bible says that he thought it was a light thing to walk in sin. It wasn't no big deal to him to go back and do what he wanted to do. The Bible says also that Ahab was one of the worst kings, and he was worse than all the ones that was before him. So this dude must have been pretty bad. Pretty bad. So it also said he married a wife of Jezebel, which he wasn't supposed to marry, because the Jews wasn't supposed to marry outside their people. He did that anyway. He went and served Baal, Jezebel's god, who I believe she had a huge part of him enticing him of serving this god. You know, she had some play in that. So he bowed down to Baal and he worshiped Baal. You know, it's the church has got to get away from what they're doing now and get back to what we used to do. Now, he said, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Now, here it is, because Ahab, you know, did all of this stuff. God told the man of God, Elijah, over here in verse 1, he said, Elijah the Tishbite, who was inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, because of what Ahab had did, God spoke to this prophet Elijah and told him, look, it's going to be a famine lamp just because of what you did. It wasn't because of the people did. This here was talking about what Ahab did. This is the leader of the people. He's a king. He's a bishop in our day. He's a pastor. He's a minister. He's an evangelist. He's somebody that's leading God's people. He's in a position to where he's got some great influence. So Ahab said, because of what he did, ain't going to be no dew nor rain for these many years. And we got to know that because of the things that we do, we can cause some people to fall. So we got to be careful and make sure that we walk the way that we ought to walk. Now, Paul was talking to the Romans over here in Romans 2, I believe it was 24, where he was telling the leaders, these Pharisees and Sadducees, these folk, he said, because of you, you made God's name a blasphemy among the Gentiles, among the sinners. Because of us, the people ain't going to believe nothing that we say. It's hard for us to witness to the folk. It's hard for us to do anything because they looking at us as a whole. You may not be you, but somebody out there doing something they ain't got to do that's bringing shame to the church, that's bringing shame to the glory of God. Somebody out there ain't doing what they're supposed to do. So God is going to raise up some Elijahs and cause them to see what's going on. So Elijah said, because of what's going on here, Ahab, ain't going to be no rain. Ain't going to be no dew. He said, ain't nothing going to happen. So you know the story. This is the story where even Elijah, when he was in this famine, he was in the land. So he had to go through the hard times too. You know, the Bible tells him to go by a brook and stay there, and he gonna cause the raven to feed him. So he was going through. In the meantime, the folk don't know what to do. But God is still taking care of Elijah. He fed him with birds. Then he said, go on, leave there and go to this place where I'm going to send you. He went to a widow and told this woman that, look, hey, look, if you give me a piece of bread, make me that bread first before you give it to yourself and to your son. She looked at him and said, you know, I can't do this. I can't do it, a man of God. She knew he's a man of God. He said, look, if you listen to what I'm saying, then God will bless you. So in other words, if we get out there and do the will of God, we're going to have some hard time, but know that God is going to take care of us. See, what God was doing with this man now, during all this famine, and this king had caused the people to sin. These people are already starting to sin. They went back. They were causing their kids to walk fire and do all kind of stuff. So they were living horrible. So during this famine, God is doing miracles too and letting the people see it. This woman, she didn't have no food. She had a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. She said, look, I'm going to dress it for me and my son. We're going to eat and die. So this is how we're going to go out of this thing. But he said, look, no, don't do that. Give it to me first. And God going to provide for you. She gave it to him. And we know the story that, I'm trying to get somewhere. We know the story that, you know, that her burial did not cease. She had wine, she had oil, she had meal, she had what she wanted to have. Then here come another woman that had a son that died. She went to the man of God. Man of God raised the son up. Here it is in famine, in bad time. They didn't turn their back on God, but God using this man. He using Elijah to cause these people to see, because after this, he's got a bit to do to show everybody. Let's flip on over to 18. I'm going to do a little reading over here. And this, I'm going to start the first verse. And it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in the land. Now, see, after all of this famine, they was in the famine for years and years. No water, no food. Then people don't know what they're going to do. God's showing these folk miracles, little miracles. And you know when God did those miracles, they had to say something to somebody. Hey, look, girl, don't you know that I didn't have no oil? And this man of God came, and he said, if you make me a cake first, then I'm going to have plenty. So you know they out there telling us. They're out there testimony. You know, they out there testifying. They've been a witness for God right now. So another woman saying, look, my son was sick and about to die. Don't you know that the man of God stretched himself on him? He brought back life into him. But now God told him, say, look, go now, Elijah, and tell Ahab it's going to be some rain. So instead of him listening to the man of God, this is what he do. Verse 3, Ahab called Obadiah, which was a governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. I don't know. Pastor, you have to help me with that one. You and Sister Flipbo. So he feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto the fountains of the water, and unto the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mule alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went on one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Look, here it is. God told, ain't no water in the land. All the brooks done dried up. This evil king still want to defy the Lord God. He tells his servant, look, you go that way and I'm going to go this way and we're going to go and find some water. You ain't going to find no water. You know, if you find some water, you're making God a lie. And then you defying God. You saying, hey, look, God can't do what he's trying to do. So he said, look, you go that way, Obadiah, and I'm going to go this way. And Obadiah went, as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him. And he fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord had not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go and tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. What Obadiah saying, look, you want me to go and tell this man now that I found you after I told him that you wasn't there? You want me to go and tell this king that I was supposed to get, you know, all these prophets are supposed to be slain, that you still living? He said, no, I can't do that. We said, what I do? Did I sin? What did I do something wrong for you to, you want me to go and do this? And so he said, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the spirit of the Lord should carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee. He shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cage and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go and tell the Lord, thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before I stand, I shall surely show myself unto him. He said, this time I ain't going to run, Obadiah. I'm going to show him. I'm going to stand before this king because I got something to say to him. I got something to show him. So he said, so Obadiah went and met Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? Isn't that something? He caused the people to go back. He caused the people to sin. He caused this famine. He caused all of this stuff. And he's going to say, the man of God, is it you? Is it you? Is you the man that caused this thing to happen? And the prophet said, he answered, he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now, therefore, send and gather me all Israel. So he showed a few things to these people. He showed something to these two ladies that God can raise up the dead. God can feed you. He can make a way out of no way. Now, he said, go and get them all. He said, go get all the people of Israel and Mount Carmel and the prophets. Don't leave them out. The prophets of Baal, bring them too. 450. The prophets of the grove, 400. That's a lot of folk. Which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. So he got the whole nation there. He did some things for a few people, and they told him, I guess people wasn't believing. So now God got something to show all of y'all. And of course, I done told you, Ahab, that it's going to rain. But I know Ahab look and say, it ain't going to rain. I ain't seen no rain yet. It's supposed to rain if you say it's going to rain. It's supposed to do this if it's going to say to do that. The woman said that you raised my kid from the dead. The other woman said that God blessed her with meal, and she's still eating in this famine. Ain't nobody else eating. And you want to? What you trying to show us here, Elijah? He said, go and get them all. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halted ye between two opinions? Saints of God, how long is the church halted between two opinions? How long are we going to stay where we at? How long are we going to sit and just let things happen? This was one man God used. And it don't take a whole lot of people, but we know that the nation can't come together in our day. We don't live behind walls. We're scattered. We got some north, south, east, west. They all was in one place, one region where they can come together and see this. So y'all know the story how Elijah told them to look. He said, if the Lord God be God, follow him. but of Balaam, then follow him. So he told these guys, he told the prophets and Ahab and all of them, he said, go ahead and y'all build an altar. Get all of these, you know, get your sacrifice and put up on there. So in other words, he's saying, if whoever God answered by fire, let him be God. So they, you know that the prophets, Balaam, he didn't answer them. He didn't answer. They did. They worship at that altar from noon to evening, the Bible says. Then nothing happened. They jumped all on top of the altar. They cut themselves. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff. And like today, so many people are doing so many different things in the church, trying to get God to answer them. And it's just simple. It's a simple thing. All we got to do is turn back to God. We ain't got to go and do no flips. We ain't got to go and do all of this stuff. We ain't got to go and get these praise dances and bring all of this stuff in the church. God ain't pleased with all of that. It's the simple thing God wants us to do. It was something simple that they did. It was something bad, but it was simple to do. All they got to do is turn back. Turn back. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. There's some wicked ways in the church, saints of God. I know firsthand there's some wicked stuff that's going on, and the pastors ain't saying nothing about it. They know who's on the board. They know who's on the in these offices, but they won't do nothing about it. And it's bringing shame to the church. And it's harder for me, harder for you to get out there and tell somebody about Jesus, because they're not already seeing what this Jesus dude would do. They ain't already heard about what this Jesus dude would do. He ain't living up to standards. So it make it hard for the saints of God to get out there and witness and be an effective witness. It's that much harder. But God is going to turn some things around. That's what he said he's going to give. Look, that prophecy came to pass that he sent before Jesus the spirit of Elijah, which was John. But I believe that there is another part to that prophet. If you read the Bible, God got a spirit. Look, what Elijah did, it wasn't him. What John did, it wasn't him. That was God's spirit working through Elijah. That was God's spirit working through Jesus, working through John. How John got the spirit, because Mary came around Elizabeth and he got baptized with the Holy Ghost just by being in his presence in the belly. So that's the spirit of the living God, what we're talking about. So he said, look, y'all finished? He said, look, let's tear that down and let's build this thing over. So he built another altar and did the same thing they did, but he added something to it. He added 3 drums. I don't know how many times he told 3 times to pour water over this altar. He said, do it 3 times. And they did it 3 times. And he began to seek God just like we need to seek God. And God came down like fire, like a consuming fire. And he ate up the rocks. He ate up the wood. He ate up everything. And the Bible says he licked up the water. So when the people saw that, they say, let your God, let God be God. This is the God that we're trying to serve. Look, you can get us out of this famine. This is the God we're trying to serve. And then when Elijah told him to say, look, go and get those prophets. Don't let now none of them escape. Bring them on down here. We're going to destroy them. God trying to get rid of the sin out of the church, saints of God. That's all he's trying to do. He ain't trying to destroy no people. I ain't talking about destroy the folk. He says, not his will that any man should perish, but that all will come to repentance. If they'd all come repent, he would accept them all. But he know the hearts of man. Every man's heart ain't going to change. He said, get rid of the sin. He got rid of them. They went out there. Back in the day, they cut them all to pieces. Boy, it was a bloody day, I bet. 450 people, he got rid of all of them. So, look over here in Luke 1 and 17. Let's go there. That's the spirit of Elijah. Let me read Malachi 4. I'm going to read Malachi 4, chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, see, that day ain't came. Now, we know that the day that came that Malachi was talking about John, he came before this great day. It was a great day when Jesus came on the scene. I don't know about nobody else. It was a great day. And John had some fire in him. He had the spirit of, and the power of Elijah in him. He was preaching to them folk, preaching about baptism, and they got baptized. He said the sons, the children of God came out to him. Even the wicked ones of the church came out to see what he was doing. And he said, look, who warned y'all? How did you get out here? He said, you better do a fruit for repentance. You better come on and repent and make sure you do it right. Don't hold back. Make sure your repentance is true. Now, I know you come out and see what's going on, but who warned you? So the spirit and the power of Elijah was in John, and this day that Malachi is talking about has not come yet. This burning as an oven, the proud and the wicked, those that are stubble, things that will burn up. He said, look, he's not going to leave neither root nor branch. That means God ain't going to leave no sin. None. Everything that is sinful is going to get burnt completely up. So that day ain't came yet. That's our day. He said, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with the healing of his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. He's talking about us. He said, you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness. Now that capital S-U-N, that is Jesus. I want you to know. Jesus is the Son. He's the light, ain't he? He's the great light. He's the light of all men, John was talking about. He's the light of the world. So this light is going to shine down on us, and we're going to be healed, and we're going to grow up as those calves he's talking about in the star. We're going to be so strong, saints of God. We're going to go out there and do those exploits. We're going to go out there and be able to witness. We're going to be able to go out there and lay hands on the sick. And we're going to see signs, and we're going to see wonders, and we're going to see miracles, because the spirit of Elijah still got to come. It still got to come. That day ain't over. John's them day is over. It's our day now. It's our day. It's your day now. It's your day to go out there and shine like John the Baptist. It's your day to go out there and shine like Elijah. It's our day. And he said, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgment. He said, behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, it was great when he came in John's day, but I think only thing that was so dreadful in that day was for Jesus, because he had to bear the cross. And he said, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite thee with a curse. Now, all of that's going to happen, saints of God. But this first thing has got the hearts of the fathers got to turn to the children. But the hearts of the fathers has got to turn back to God first. He said, you have left your first love. And what is the first commandment? That you love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength. Love God and love nobody else. So the man's heart has got to turn. And it's going to take God. That spirit and that power of Elijah is going to be in us. Matter of fact, I believe it's in us. The spirit of God is in us. But it's something in us that's going to have to be stirred up to cause us to do what they did. To cause us to have this boldness, this zeal, to turn to God's people and not to just turn the back and say, well, I'm saved, I'm all right. That's them. So this power and this might is going to come. So Luke 1 and 17, I believe it is. So John came and did his job. He did it. He came and preached. He was the forerunner for Christ. He did it. I mean, he really did. They talked about him. They called him. They thought he was mad because he was out there and camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. He wasn't eating steaks. You know, he didn't drive no Seville. He didn't drive no Mercedes. He was out, just out there for one purpose only, for one reason only, and that's to get the people, the fathers' heart back to the children. And don't you know today we need the hearts of the fathers back to the children? It's so many kids going through. It's so many kids that young men just killing, just to be killing. So the guys watch this stuff on their phones. They bring it to work and watch how these young men are just coming up out of their belts with guns like the Wild Wild West and just firing. I mean, just cars getting away, and they just shooting at them. I said, boy, this is crazy. It's so bad, I can't even watch. I said, man, I don't even watch because I hate to see somebody get hit by a bullet and fall. I said, I don't want to see that, man. I hear about it. That's good enough for me. I don't want to hear that. But God got to get a hold of these young men. I mean, God can't get a hold of them until he get a hold of us. You know, we got to get uncomfortable. You know, I told my wife I want me one of those big chairs like Dad got. Dad deserved that chair. I don't need that chair because I'm too young to be sitting around. You know, I want to get busy for God. God, I want you to get me busy. I want to get out there amongst these folk. You know, you show me where to go, and I'll go. You give me a plan, and I'll go. I don't want the chair. I wanted it, but it feel good too, boy. But you find yourself, I say, I melt in my couch. When I get in the couch, it's like I just become part of it. It's like I blend in and they can't even see where Dad at. I'll be right there, don't be saying nothing. Until they find me. Looking like a chameleon. But God got to get a hold of these children. And only way God going to get a hold of them is he get a hold of the fathers. John, did he say, and he shall, or 117, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Supposed to be us. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Them people ain't ready for God coming. These folk ain't ready for God to return. Most of us ain't ready for God to return. We got to get out there and make ready these people for the Lord's coming. He came the first time, like John said, he coming. As one coming after me. We can say the same thing. When we get through witnessing out there, it's one coming after me. But when he come, it ain't going to be like he came the first time. He going to come, and it's going to be some devastation. It's going to be fire, brimstone. Ain't going to be no more chances. You're going to be doomed. So these young men, young women out there, I mean, the women just as bad as the men now. They done got so bad. Women used to be shamefaced, but man, I saw a video where a woman walked up to a guy in the car and just started shooting him. I said, what is wrong? You know, how do you get there? You know, what do we do? And that's always been my question. Lord, what do we do? He said, except we turn back, tear down these altars, stop serving these strange gods, stop doing what we want to do, what we feeling like we want to do, you know, and turn back and love me. Get that first love. Not the love that when I want to love. Not the love that who I want to love. I don't want to love him. I don't want to love you. I don't want to love you, Dad. I want to love him. Not where I want to love, why I want to love. Man, you got to have the agape love. You got to have the love of Jesus in your heart to be able to approach these folk and not look at them and say, well, you ought to stop. You need to do this. No. It's another way. Jesus did this. He showed me this in the scripture when a woman came to the well. He knew that she didn't have no husband. Boy, he was so smart. And I said, Lord, give me that. He said, go call your husband. So now I've been thinking, Lord, how can I get them to open up? And once they open up, you can't say, I accuse you of nothing. You said, I have no husband. He said, you have said well. He already knew. She said, I have no husband. He said, the one that you with ain't yours either. But then it sounded like there was some repenting there, don't you think? Because he'd always tell the people, go and don't sin no more. He forgave them. He forgave him, but we got to let the people know that God will forgive you. First of all, we got to forgive him. We can't say, well, man, you're going to go to hell for that. You know, boy, they need to lock you up. You need to be behind the bars. And they get down their spirit, well, if I need to be there, I'm going to run and do some more. Because it's a matter of time, they know they're going to get caught one way or the other. The bullet going to catch them or the law going to catch them. And when the law catch you, the bullet catch you anyway. Because they ain't going to have no mercy on you. None. So this spirit and this power of Elijah has got to fall down on the church, saints. It's got to fall on us. I'm praying, Lord, give me the spirit and the power of Elijah. Give me that holy boldness where I can witness to my family. Give me the spirit and the boldness where I can witness to my neighbors. Lord, don't let me be ashamed of you. I went down to my daddy's house the other Friday. Thought I was going. I went down to pay tax, but I said, I'm going to stop by her and by the family. And this man that me and my sister been witnessing to, his name is Cedric. He was sitting on the front. And my brother Ronald was sitting behind him. I walked up to him. I said, hey, y'all. But my eyes was fixed on Cedric. Pastor, he was so clean. I mean, just like something new. He said, well, Fred, man, I did it. He said, today I'm 15 days clean. And I've been going to church Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday with your sister Lisa. God got a hold of him, Pastor. God cleaned him up. He said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm getting away from here. I'm going to Hannibal to this place out here. I said, that's the best thing you can do, man. Get away from your kindred folk. Get away from them, man, and go and live for God. And he was studying the word. He was right there. And he said, Fred, he said, let me get back to my word, Fred. Then he came in the house and said, you know what, man? I just read what you said. He studied in tongues. I said, God will fill you, man. I said, he going to fill you. But he looked so good. So I praised the Lord for that. I did. I said, Lord, thank you for cleaning him up. I mean, look good. I mean, won't he make you clean inside when he get a hold of you, boy? I mean, he looked like a new creature. And that's what he said to Pastor. He said, the Bible said, I'm brand new. I said, the Bible said, you're a new creature. I said, all things are new. Behold, all things are new. Everything. I said, you're going to be fine, man. I said, don't you worry about it. He was like, oh, Fred. He said, I feel so good. He said, I just feel good, man. I feel good. He said, I'm going to church, man. I said, oh, Lord, thank you. And my brother, he just sitting there looking. And so I walked in the house and talked to my auntie and prayed for her. Came back outside. I said, Ryan, I want to pray for you, man. And we prayed, and he just bawling. I mean, just bawling. I said, Lord, do it for him. I said, Cedric. I said, you leave. I said, he said, I'm going to come back. I said, when you come back, as I pray to God, have you on fire to save him, save him, save all these guys that you used to drink with, they'll know. See, God is trying to get some peculiar people. We ain't peculiar unless we're saved. We're common folk outside of God. We're the ordinary people outside of God, you know. But all of us in here, we're common. We have the same spirit. You know, what makes you peculiar? Because when you get back, when you get saved, truly saved, your buddies, your family, they're going to look at you and say, you don't drink no more? That's going to make you strange to them. God said we're going to be a strange people. We're going to be some weird folk. You know, we're going to be, that's the only way you can be peculiar. Being holy, that's peculiar. Being righteous, to the world, that is a peculiar person. Who in their right mind want to be right? Who in their right mind want to be holy? Ain't nobody out there want to be holy. They want to drink. They want to smoke. They want to stay up all night and do what they want to do. That's common out there. It used to be common to me. I didn't start going to the party until 12:30 at night. You know, I work all day and it's time to go to party. I'll party to the morning and get up and go to work. That was common to me. But now I'm a weirdo because I don't want to do that no more. You know, you don't want to, Brother Al, you don't want to go to the bar. We're going to have a party. I said, no, man. I said, God came and got me out of a bar. He came and got me out of a nightclub. I ain't going no nightclub. No, I'm going to be there, Brother Al. So, Brother Al won't be there. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with nobody in there. I tell you what, if I go, I can stand outside the door and wait for him. You know, I stand in the parking lot if God got something for me to do. But go in there and fellowship? No, he told me to come out from there. And I'm going to come out for money. When he delivered me out of there, I ain't stepped foot in no nightclubs since. So God got a people, and God got a time that he going to bring forth that spirit and the power of Elijah. It ain't over with, y'all. John came, he gone. It ain't no, but we still here. The Spirit of the living God is going to fall down in this place, and we're going to get some revival. We're going to be revived. Our strength is going to come back to us. The Lord told us already, and I'm holding on to it, this is the year of restoration. This is the year to be revived. This is the year of restoration. It is the year, and I believe it, God. This is going to be the year that you got to get us together. You know, it's too many people dying. Too many God folk dying. Because every time you look around, some Christian and died a horrible death. You know, and I'm wondering, you know, well, Lord, why? Well, I know they hope they saved and, you know, they gone, but, you know, but why you come and get them like that? You know, why horrible death like that? I said, Lord, I mean, I think the horrible death was for Christ's sake. Folk being martyred, crucified for the sake of Jesus, not because I was in my car and some person came and boom, smashed me up. That's horrible for a Christian to die. It's horrible for anybody, but for God's people, I have a problem with that. I really do. I have a problem with it. But the spirit and the power of Elijah is going to come because that prophet, this dreadful day has not come up yet. It has not come. I ain't seen nothing around here burn like no oven. I don't think they seen nothing back then burn like no oven. They just saw Jesus go up. And they say, well, what y'all looking up there for? That same Jesus, he going to come back the same way. And he ain't came back yet. So he going to come. It's going to be hot, y'all. It's going to get hot. We think it's hot. It's going to get hot. And we can't stand that heat. That's a consuming fire. He don't want to consume us. So the spirit and the power of Elijah, let us pray for that spirit and the power. Let us pray that God would baptize us with his spirit. John said that he would, look, this one coming after me, he's going to baptize you with fire, not water. He didn't say his spirit. He said he's going to baptize you with fire. So I've been praying, Lord, give me the fire. Put it on me, Lord. Put it on me. Put it on us, Lord. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, I'm understanding what Brother Flippo and them back there saying to me. You need to be baptized. You need to be baptized in the spirit. You need to be baptized. I'm like, Lord, what is he saying? I mean, I heard that, but it came to me, Brother Flippo. It came to me. We need it. And I ain't looking for the tongues. I'm looking for fire. I'm looking for something that's going to turn somebody around. I'm looking for something that's going to say, oh, I repent of my sin. Can we do this right here, Brother Al? Can we do it? We ain't got to go to church. I'm looking for that kind of fire. Something that's going to change somebody's heart, change their mind. Too many people going in church, coming back out the same way. They dance, they hoop and hollering. This one man I was talking to down in the city, he said, yeah, man, this doctor was saying, the doctor of the church was, you know, he was preaching and this, that, and the other. I said, I think God going to use some ordinary people. People that's going to speak plain, well, people can understand what you're saying. Because if I'd have said it in the congregation, I wouldn't understood none of them big words. So it wouldn't have profited me at all. He said, he's an older guy. I'm going to tell you, young man, I didn't understand nothing he was saying either. So I got up and left. You know, I mean, you got people that's uneducated. You know, who gonna preach to them? Lord, give me the simple folk. Because I'm simple. Give me the simple folk. You know, give me some people to say, oh, okay, you ain't even got to say, I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. All them big words. He just, you know, all he's doing is just showing his degree. Showing how much man sense he got. I wonder how much godliness he got in him. That's what I want to know. How much godly. When you leave from out of this pulpit talking, using all them 30 letter words, how you living? That's what I like to see. We got to live right. People got to know that you got to live right. You got to be peculiar people. You got to be holy and still believe in holy. I still believe in the old things that I was taught. I don't want to change. I don't want to hear nothing else different. You know, I've learned how not to offend. I told my son, I'm going to close. I told my son, Savion, he was going for an interview. And I got him some clothes out. He didn't know it. Go to the closet. I said, your clothes downstairs. Go down there because he had on some jeans and stuff. I was taught to go suit, I mean a tie, a shirt, some dress shoes. You man, I said, man, you trying to represent. You know? where you come from. I say, when you go to that store, they're going to say, well, if he came in like this, then he going to represent us good. So when we represent God good, God do us good. So he had them earrings on. I said, take those earrings off. He said, Dad, took them off. I don't know where I was at. I got a phone call. He was so excited. Dad, guess what? So you got the job. Yeah, Dad. He said, but look. He said, when I walked in there, they were saying, oh, man, can I touch your shirt? I said, oh, man, you are clean. I said, you know what? We don't even see this no more. He said, the guy said, we appreciate you coming in just like we don't even get this no more. I said, man, that old stuff is good for you, man. That old time religion is good for you. It was good enough for me, man. It's going to be good enough for you, Savion. And he said, man, they talked to him. He said, Dad, he said, I ain't even asked about the pay. They said, you know how much we going to pay? And they told him what he's going to pay. And he said, this guy pulled him aside and said, he's a younger, older than Savion, but I guess in his 30s. He said, man, look, I want to tell you, thank you for coming in and representing. You know, and that made me proud. And I know it saw him, made him see that, look, what I'm telling you, I'm just ain't telling you to do something. I ain't trying to just rule you, man. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. I said, but when you're in this house, I said, I just got to lay down some laws, man. I'm sorry. I got to kick, you know, and scratch and do all that. You know, y'all going to do this. I don't care. You can't do it in this house. I'm going to stand for righteousness, man. I'm going to stand for holiness, man. You know, that stuff that you seeing out there, man, it ain't right, man. Because you seeing your friends do all of this stuff, it ain't right, Savion. It ain't right, Al. You got to do what you were taught, man. And God going to honor that. You got to do what you were taught. So, saints of God, look, we need the spirit and the power of Elijah. Because we need it first so we can impart it. You know, let us remember to pray when we pray. Lord, let this spirit that was in Elijah, in John, be also in us. He said, let the mind of Christ be also in us. And Pastor, look, the mind, we have the mind of Christ. Then, Lord, show me how to use your mind. Show me how. I'm finished. I hope that you all was blessed. Hope that you had got something. If it's just a word that will cause you to go on, cause you to push more. I was telling Pastor that, you know, I had started a dedication and I was praying. I mean, I was praying daily, nightly. And that's when God started giving me these dreams. He started using me. I slacked off, I told Pastor. I talked to her about some things, been tired and all this. After that, it's like God just backed off. You know, I was looking for those dreams and, you know, the words that he was just communicating with me. And it wasn't a long time. I mean, I was in it for about a week and I said, man, I'm loving this. But then I stopped for a while. Then all of a sudden the dreams, you know, the words, it just ceased. So what I'm saying is, man, we got to make it. We got to put it in our hearts and our mind. In spite of what we do, we got to seek God. And I'm learning now that without seeking him, you don't get nothing. You don't get nothing. Nothing at all. You got to seek him. Seek him first. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart. And if I love you, I say, Lord, and if I love you, then I will keep your commandments. Then I'm supposed to seek you. You know, they had an hour of prayer. They went up and prayed all the time. They, you know, I said, Lord, help me to stay in line. You know, help me. Maybe I can rub off on somebody. Yes, you know, I don't know. Maybe, Lord, you sent somebody and rubbed them off on me. Yes. But whatever you got to do, God, get a hold of us. Because this is a dying world. It's a dying church out there. This is a decrepit church. It is. This church is just, it's just messed up. You know, it's sad for what I've been seeing. God been letting me witness some things and hear some things. It's sad. I'm like, this in the church, and wonder why the church ain't no power. You know, they got this man-made stuff. They cloning the power, trying to. But you can't you can't match God. You can't even duplicate it. You can make it seem like, but it won't be the real deal. You know, say, give me the uncola, the real cola. No, give me the uncut version. The word, the way he say do it. Saints of God, I hope you've been blessed. Anybody need prayer? I would like for all of us to stand and pray for this spirit and power of Elijah to fall back. Not just in this church, but Lord, if you want to start with us first, then that's all right with us. You know, but fall back in the church, in the body, all over the land. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, God, I thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, God, to share your word, God. Lord God, look on us, Lord, this morning, God. Lord, we do desire. We need the spirit and the power of Elijah. Lord, you promised that he will come, Lord. And Lord, we know, God, that it's your spirit, God. It's not Elijah that we're looking for, God. It's not John the Baptist that we're looking for, God. Lord, we're looking for your spirit. We're looking for your power, Lord. Oh, God, we want to be strong in your might out here, God, for your people. So we're asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to fall back down in the church, oh, God. Let the church, God, turn from their wicked ways, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask, God, that you would cause the hearts of the fathers to turn to the children and let the children's heart turn to the father and obey, Father. We ask this, Father, all over the land, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Let it be so, God. So we thank you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor, saints of God.
We got a song in our church we used to sing, and I was singing it coming here. And he said, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire, catch on fire, catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. Well, I wish the pastor's soul would catch on fire, oh, catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish the pastor's soul would catch on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. Well, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Come on and catch on fire. Oh, catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. You want your soul to catch on fire? Lord, I wish my soul would catch on fire, oh, catch on fire, catch on fire. Lord, I wish my soul would catch on fire, burning with the Holy Ghost. Y'all remember that song? Hallelujah, it's the same those songs, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the message today. Praise the Lord that we need to catch on fire, because that's what the world got to have. And I just praise the Lord for Brother L, how he's growing. I thank the Lord for you children growing. I thank the Lord for everything that he's doing. I thank the Lord for Jesus. I think he's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank for Brother Mark, you know. And that's what we got to have the men to make an impression. I just thank the Lord for that. I do. I thank the Lord for everything. And I thank the Lord for the way I'm feeling in my soul, because I've really got a man. I got a man to go on with the Lord. I was coming to you. I said, Lord, you know what? I just sung that song. I said, Lord, we got to catch on fire. We just got to catch on fire, because that's what the world needs. But as he began to minister, you know, it's just sometimes you look at the world, you say, but you know, that was when Jesus came, the world was messed up. Yes. And so I'm looking at these men of God, like brother, looking at the men of God. I said, Lord, what they had turned this world around. I want to know what they had to turn this world around. I'm not worried about what they're doing out there, because I believe what God has given his people in this day, we're going to come. He said he gave us the power to become the sons of God. And I believe we're sons of God, that we're going to be like Jesus. And I just want to thank the Lord for the message. It was good. And I thank the Lord for Brother L. You keep pressing, son. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't look at nobody. Don't look at pastor. Don't look at nobody. Just keep pressing, because God's got something for everybody. I told the Lord, this world is so big. There's so much mess going on out there. I'm telling you, praise the Lord. I tell you, the sons of God is coming forth in this hour. But one thing I caught the Lord as he's speaking to you, Brother L. I thought about, I said, Lord, we got to just keep on. Keep on pressing. You know, we're asking, and look like he ain't going to come. But we just got to keep on. He said, diligently seek the Lord. We got to diligently seek the Lord. And I believe it's because of the times we living in. I do. I said, Lord, I ain't never had a harder time than I've had in this time. Just right in here, you know what I'm saying? I said, but Lord, it just come to me. He said, you got to hold. When he was preaching, you got to hold on. That you got to hold on. Don't let nothing stop you from keeping your mind on what you're looking for. Jesus, he said, he's here, and you got to hold on. So I just want to thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the message, Brother L. Thank you for the Lord using you. We appreciate the Lord for you. Praise the Lord. Anybody that needed prayer today, he opened up the altars if you want to pray, have prayer. We want to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I just thank the Lord for his spirit. I'm looking for the... My pastor preached all the time, the sons of God. I don't know why. I mean, that's all we preach, the sons of God coming forth. And I thought about it. I said, Lord, I wish he would have lived to see this. But we're going to live to see it because he's going to put it on us. We're going to get this thing. It's going to be. Praise the Lord. We're going to keep our minds on it. We're going to come into church and we're going to keep our minds on it. We're going to praise him like it. We're going to just keep on moving, sister. Praise the Lord. So I just think let's pray one for another. Praise the Lord. Y'all make sure you maybe somebody call Jackie. Y'all, you know, we're going to have to keep up with each other more than we do. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you've done today. And I thank you, Lord, that we got a man to go on. Praise the Lord. But we really got encouraged today, Lord, because sometimes you look and it look like things ain't moving. But, Lord, I'm encouraged, Lord. We got to stay put. We got to keep on moving on. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. But you say it's the one who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And not endure. That's a word there, endure. So we got to endure to the end. I just want to thank you. God bless all of you. I don't know if anybody got any anything that, oh, the brother will be here the 10th. 10th, 11th, 12th? Yes. Okay, so we want to try to get those out. I talked to sister. But I just want to thank you. I just praise. I just thank the Lord for being here. Yes, give the Lord another clap because he's the one. I thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. Got a man to keep pushing this. Some pride for every one of us. I'm telling you this. That's one thing I learned. You sure got to stay in there. And stay on here. You got to stay in the word. So I just want to y'all keep staying in the word. The Lord be with you. The Lord's face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious up to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. God bless you.